I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
We haven't started yet.
Yeah, I'm just going to shut the door.
Yes, yeah, shut the door. There we go. That's we can keep that for the edit. That'll be good.
It's quite a nice
door shutting. Yeah. Quite nice.
Bit of ambient sound.
Really, really lovely. How have you been?
I'm okay, thank you. I think, you know, do you go through times when your head is not in the game?
Oh, fuck. Do I go through times of that? I haven't gone through the other time yet. No.
For me,
yeah, of course,
it's sporadic. And this week, my head is not in the game. I had the actual, like, not turning up to a gig happen.
Shitting hell. Yeah. That's actually big.
That's huge. Like, I
got.
I managed to get there. They shuffled things around and I got there. But like, you know, an hour after I was meant to be on, and I could only do 10 minutes because Dylan Moran had to do his bit.
He had to, did he?
Yeah. And I just had to do a call to my agent before this podcast about like how I had, I never get any acting stuff, and I've got a self-tape that I'm meant to do. And I forgot about it all weekend. I did remember about it this morning, but then just time passed and I was like 11:25, like, I suppose I'll start recording now. Like,
yeah,
also it was due in this morning, just to be clear, it's already late. So I'm not I think my brain's not functioning hugely well.
Do you do a lot of voice work?
No.
I do some, and it's the weirdest thing when they say to you, look, could you send us a voice tape, especially for like a video game?
Yeah.
And they, I think that's what they're still called, right? Video games?
Yeah,
that's what I call them. Video games. Yeah. For the little kiddies.
Yeah, that's great.
And that's it. And then I find myself, you know, they send you a script, but it's not really a script, is it? Because it's a computer game for the kiddies. And you're in your room alone going, what's that? You know, and just screaming at yourself, which I do anyway. But not to someone's half-hour script. I do it to my own half-hour script.
My only involvement in video games ever is the choral soundtrack to Killzone 2.
Whoa.
A big choir doing, like, you know, scary choral music in Latin. That kind of thing.
Yeah, that music that follows me around everywhere.
Yeah, that's in your head. That's what we were recording for Killzone 2. So that's the only time.
Oh my God, that's amazing though.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, I've been in Dungeon Master 2.
Have you?
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I doubt that that's a thing. I've never heard of it. I haven't played a computer game in like since I was a child. I'm going to say it. But I've heard of like Call of Duty. I've heard of that. That's got to me.
I hear about
Dungeon Masters 2 has not got to me yet.
Not one. No.
I don't think it's big.
There's The Last of Us, of course.
But I only know of that, to be honest, because of the TV series.
I watched my husband play it, and it was good enough to watch, like, sort of in that way, you know, like...
Well, people do that, don't they?
Yeah.
People pay money to watch people play video games.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't going to pay.
I don't know how much you give Marcus, but I mean, you know, I imagine he can set a pretty high price.
Yeah.
It's successful, no,
I,
you know.
I capped it at £2.50.
Right, yeah.
He's
good
not
for
that
you.
Good playing it, so...
I really like the idea that you've signed up to Marcus's Patreon.
I like the idea of Marcus knowing what the hell Patreon is and knowing how to operate something as modern as that.
I like that even more. Now, listen, we're going to start now.
Oh, fine.
I mean, don't get me wrong. All that content is in the podcast. It's in.
Say, if you want to use any of that, feel free.
It's in. My
it's
friend,
me.
It's
on
in. This is just how, I don't know, we'll get about 5 minutes in, then we'll just start. So there we go. I'm going to tell you, you don't know what this is yet, do you? So I'll tell you what it is. We'll start, and then I'll explain it in the intro. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Leg Hole. It's me, Michael Legg, Uncle Michael Legg. And you'll never guess who has fallen into the leg hole today. It's only the absolutely brilliant Rachel Paris. And everyone applauds, everyone applauds, everyone applauds. Hi, Rachel. Now, listen, this is what's going to happen here today. Thanks for falling into the leg hole.
It's all right.
I'm going to ask you 10 questions.
Great.
I'm going to ask you 10 questions. And from the answers that you give, I'm going to put together a psychological profile of you. And right at the end of the podcast, I'm going to send it to the police. but don't let that thought hang heavy on you, because I don't want you to make up answers. I want you to answer honestly, so we can get an honest psychological profile of Rachel Paris.
Okay.
I will tell you this: these 10 questions, the first question and the last question, they're always the same for all of my guests here at the Lake Hall.
Okay,
but the 8 questions, the golden 8, right there in the middle. They have been sculpted just personally and specifically for you.
Amazing.
How are you feeling about this?
I'm now feeling nervous. If you're going to put me at ease, it did not.
Yeah. No. I've only realised this late in the game that actually it's a fucking frightening podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe I should stop it.
When you ask the question,
I'm too far in now.
How are you feeling? Less comfortable than I was.
All right. Good. That's exactly how we should all be here in the leg hole. Here is question number 1. Keep in mind, everyone gets this question.
Okay.
Rachel Paris, do you like sherry?
Sherry.
Not sharing. I know you don't like sharing.
That's so much easier.
I
love it. Absolutely love it.
Really? Yeah. You're the first. You're the first on the show. Well, let's call it a show. Fuck it. You're the first on the show to say, yes, I love sherry.
What the hell are people drinking? It's absolutely delicious.
Well, here's the thing. Most people have either gone, it's fine, or if there's nothing else, I'll drink it. or much more often is that I'm not sure if I've ever had it. I'm not sure if I've ever had it. I think I haven't.
You haven't had it?
I'm not sure I've had sherry.
What about at Christmas when it's just
well,
like,
we didn't have Christmas in Northern Ireland, remember?
Oh, right.
We didn't have it. No. We fought even more.
It's a really sensitive point, wasn't it?
Really sensitive.
There's great sort of sensitivity there for you.
Oh yeah.
I'm really sorry about that. In my Christmases, growing up, we always had a Harvey's Bristol cream in the drinks cupboard.
And what's that?
I think it's a type of sherry.
Is it?
Really nice. Okay. Oh, it's really nice. It's really sweet. Like, that's why I liked it when I was a child.
Is that how you would describe a sherry? Because keep in mind, I've never had one. Is it Bristol cream?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought sherry was creamy.
It's not, weirdly, it's not creamy, but it is called Harvey's Bristol cream.
Okay.
Very sweet and really nice. I like a sweet one. I don't like a dry one. I like a really sweet one. I could drink it like lemonade. I could drink it like water. It's one of those drinks that I have to be very careful of.
So if you were running the marathon, say, for instance, you could happily be passed a little sherry as you were running by.
Yeah, like it bad for the body, but I'd enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. No, I'm getting more and more confident that I have never had a sherry. I've never had a yogurt.
What?
No, I've never had a yogurt. I don't like the look of it.
That is, to be fair, yogurt is objectively gross. Like,
I think so.
I like it, but I think it is fair. Like blue cheese, which I also like, I think it is fair.
Right.
There are things that, yeah, fair enough. They look horrible.
I never had a pickled onion until New Year's Eve.
Oh, what did you think?
No, I didn't like it.
It's a lot, isn't it? It's a lot.
I think it's, even though I love onions and I love crunchy onions, I thought it was weirdly crunchy. Too crunchy.
Yeah. Did you have a fat one that you have to bite into or a little tiny mini one?
I think it was the tiny mini one. Yeah, it was quite small.
Yeah. I can't believe that I'm the only person who said they really like sherry.
Yeah, you are the first. I'm going to put ridiculously posh down in your...
No, it's not posh.
Sherry's quite posh.
It's not.
Well,
I think Harvey's Bristol cream in your drinks cabinet is like the royal family, as in royal, you know, off the TV. It's like, it's just what every, like, I would say lower middle class family has in their little cupboard under the stairs. Experience of sherry. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I'm posh now because of Marcus, but and it's like that's not my fault.
He granted you poshness.
Yeah. Who knows? Trust it upon me.
Well, I'll put urchin down then.
It's one or the other.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, I'm delighted with that answer. We've got our first I love sherry ever. Right. So we can go on to question number two. Then remember, these questions are all for you. Rachel Paris, what was your eighth gig like?
Ooh.
Nobody cares about your first gig, right? Nobody really cares because, do you know what? First gig, it's just nerve-wracking, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get people who go, do you know what? My first gig went really well. And, fuck off then. So how was your eighth?
Do you want me to actually try and look up what it was? Because I used to...
Oh, yeah.
I used to keep a list. I think I stopped about 3 years ago, but if I can find it, where would I? It might be on an old computer or something. But I did, I used to just.
I like that you keep a list of these things. So I'm just going to put down psychopath in your psychological profile.
Oh, I don't think I've got it anymore. That's annoying. But I can probably guess it would have been in 2010. You mean like proper stand-up type gig?
Oh, yeah.
It would have been in 2010. It could have been... These are the gigs I was doing in 2010. I was doing some of those competition gigs, like Funny Women and Laughing Horse. I was doing a weird sort of half comedy, half cabaret one. And I was doing some of the Leicester Square kind of newcomer ones.
Right. Did you win?
No, I got to the final though, which was always a help.
Yeah, I only ever did one competition, and it was it was a jongler's competition that was hosted, not hosted, it was sponsored by Swan Matches. What a coup, right?
In 1929.
Yeah, it was during the Great War, as we called it back then. And it was Swan Matches presents Jongler's Competition, and they called it Swanglers.
Oh, wow.
No one gave a shit, did they? Not an ounce of imagination went into that one. Oh, fuck it.
Also, written down, that would read as Swanglers. Swanglers, yeah. I think.
It doesn't work on any level at all.
Yeah, just to be clear, any level.
And I didn't win.
I'm going to take a guess at my eighth gig. I'm going to take a good
guess
and say it was probably something like Ruby Tuesdays, which was a gig.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? With people like James Gill used to do Ruby Tuesdays.
Yeah, okay.
It'd always be comedy. And above a pub in like Leicester Square area. And I would have taken my keyboard along, and everyone would have hated it. Not so much the audience, but more everyone running the gig and appearing alongside me.
Right, because you took up a lot of space on the stage.
A lot of space and a lot of time, you know.
Right, okay.
Getting the mic ready, and everyone who ever ran a gig in those days that I took my keyboard along to, I always warned them. You know, they knew what I did.
Sure. You warned them. You said, I'm going to be a pain in the arse. So
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and they always say, like, put me on somewhere, put me on after an interval so that I can do it already during interval. But they would ignore me. And
put me on after the closing act. Yeah.
Look, put me on for 40 after. Just call that, just freeze. Yeah, I would always be greeted with massive, heavy sighs whenever.
Oh, I can't believe that. Although I can, because, I mean, doing stand-up around a keyboard is a pain in the arse.
Yeah. I was logistically a right pain in the arse. So, it would have been something like that, I think.
You would have thought in your eighth gig, you did well with the audience, but you made no friends at all in the industry.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so I'll just put pain in the arse. in the arse. I hope this is helpful to the police. Here's the next question. Rachel Paris, have you ever embarrassed yourself in front of my parents?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. It was worth asking, though.
Have they been to any of your gigs that I've done?
Fuck no. oh no! My fuck no was coming out well before you brought yourself into it. They would never come to any of my gigs. Never.
Really?
How could I do my job if they were in the room?
Do they just not?
How can I call everyone a cunt if my mummy is in the room? I can't.
Well, I've been in that. Like, my parents don't come to many, but they have occasionally come to like quite a big one, which is the worst one, the one that you actually want to go well.
Yeah.
And I've talked about, you know, the things that you talk about. Yeah, calling people.
Yeah, of course.
Swearing a lot, talking about sex. Yeah. You just, it was bad. It's really bad.
Yeah, it's no. My dad once said to me, he said, son, one day I'm going to sneak into one of your gigs and I'm just going to stand at the back and you'll never know that I saw you. And I said, I will know the next time I see you, because it'll be written all over your face. You won't be able to give me eye contact. And, you know, and all, you know, the my name will not be on that will. That's what I'm saying.
I know I've told you about my eighth gig, but let me just tell you about just hijacking the question slightly.
The worst
example of parents being at a gig is I did a gig and I have mentioned this to them before. It was in Leicestershire, my home home place, in a little village a few miles from where I come from, in a village hall organized by a local promoter. There was about three people on the bill. The local promoter was comparing, and I won't say his name, but he was appalling. The gig was in the daytime for some reason, early afternoon. There was no curtains, full daylight flooding through into the village hall.
God.
It was on the big tall stage of the village hall. Mm-hmm. There was no lighting for the stage. There was no bar. There were trestle tables uncovered, put out, and only two of them, because there were only 15 people at the gig, and eight of them were my family.
Oh.
For about 8 months or something. So I couldn't adjust my set. Like, I only had my, like, you know, 10-minute set that I had. So I did my 10-minute set, which included...
Of course you did.
Talking about coming and talking about doing crap, is obviously not true. At the time, neither. And, you know, it was so... And I could just see, like, my parents just thinking, what is she doing? Like, not only not enjoying the material, but thinking, she's thinking, we've got to get her off this insane whim.
Why? The money we spent on piano lessons? What?
That's literally what they think as well. and I cried. I think it's the only gig that I have come off stage and literally burst into tears in the wings. It was that bad.
Oh, no. Oh, that's bad. Yeah. But I've only ever... I did one gig in front of my family, not my parents, but the rest of them.
Yeah.
And it was a gig in Bangor, County Down, which is... it's the rival town to my hometown, Newton Orange. And I'd realised Newton Orange, for anyone hearing that for the first time, they're probably going, that's not a word. It isn't. But there we go. That's where I'm from, a place that isn't a word. And my family came to the gig. And because they got to the gig late, you know, just like minutes before the gig was starting, the room had filled up except for the front two rows. And they took up the entire front two rows. And I'm like, you fucking pricks.
Oh, God, that's awful.
And it was horrible, especially because they thought they were going to see, like Michael McIntyre or something, not Michael Legg, their brother. And all they saw was a man having a breakdown in front of their own family. and I swear to God, practically every feed line I did, they started conferring with one another. Like, I wonder what he means. Like, it was just appalling.
Oh my God! Did they not know you were going to be on?
No, they did. They did know, and they knew what I did. They just assumed, oh, Michael's going to go out and tell jokes because he's a comedian, not, oh, Michael's going to go on stage and shout at everyone and have a breakdown. didn't realize that's what he thinks is funny, but it is. So there you go. I tell you what, though, I think I've mentioned this on this podcast before, and if I have, doesn't matter, it's worth repeating. There was a time at the Glasgow stand when I went on stage. This is the best heckle I've ever had.
Yeah.
I'm a minute, maybe 2 minutes into the set, and someone at the back of the room just went, Michael, what are you doing? And it was someone I hadn't seen since I was 16. And she just... broke down. One that is Michael Legg. What? And afterwards, after the gig, she had to come up to me and just went, "What? But you, when you were at school, you never spoke." Well, I'm making up for it now.
What are you doing?
Such a good heckling. What are you doing?
I also absolutely love what you said about what your family might be thinking. The damning. Phrase.
Sure.
I didn't realize that's what you would think was funny. That's such a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
If anyone ever comes up to me and says, how was the gig, about their gig, I'll be like, I didn't realize that's what you thought was funny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe that's how we should look at the audience, though, from now on. I mean, if we do a gig and it doesn't go well, just go, oh, I'm not what they think funny is. They think they're into the other stuff that's not as good as me. Yeah. Which, to be fair, I've thought that anyway. So I'm going to put down Diva.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm just... Here we go. Here's another question. Rachel Paris, what are you best at? Mixed martial arts or bursting into tears?
Oh.
It's a close one, isn't it?
And this is tailored to... who's calling me and why?
Well, the...
Why is it coming through on my phone and my laptop? Jesus. So
your agent... No. Your agent's called, got you great work, and you've hung up on them to keep doing this.
For Michael Legg, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You deserve your career to go down in flames.
She's probably ringing me back about that self-tape, to be fair. But I just got an email saying they're fine that it's 4 hours late.
Yeah. In fact, they like it.
Yeah, they prefer it, actually. It
really built up the suspense, you know.
They need time to prepare themselves for how glorious.
Sure. Yeah. Give them time to really clean their ears so that it's crystal clear to them. I will remind you of the question if you're not fucking too busy. It's what are you best at, mixed martial arts or bursting into tears?
I think that's quite a tough one, actually.
It is quite a tough one.
I think I'm quite good at, I'm quite a crier. Mm-hmm. No, it's the second one then, isn't it? I just realised it's a really easy answer.
I don't know. I mean, have you tried mixed martial arts?
No, I haven't. I feel like it would not be good. I would not be good at it. Because
right.
I think I'm quite a sort of slow mover, generally. I think I can do strength, and I think that I could probably beat someone up if I really needed
it.
But I don't think I could do it in a sort of fast, controlled way.
Okay, I'm just putting violent down.
I haven't got much precision with my body.
Right.
So I don't think I would be good at that, actually. And I am good at crying, so I think it's the second one.
Okay, well, I mean, listen, we're all good at something. I don't think I'd be good at fighting. Luckily, I've never really, not as an adult, had to get involved. And any fighting. I'm really glad of that.
Have you ever got into, like, you know, a scuffle or got punched or anything, or punched anyone?
I hate to say this, but I have punched someone. But I punched them because they were being horrible to someone else.
Oh, fair enough.
And yeah. I'm not happy about that. But I asked them to stop being horrible to someone, and they wouldn't. And yeah, it's not a proud moment for me.
No,
But on the other side of the coin, I've been punched loads of times. Yeah.
Not for it.
Yeah, it turns out I can take a punch.
Nice.
Yeah, it's not really as bad as you think.
I mean, don't
go and ask for one. But but it's really not that bad.
And I've never hit anyone. It's because when you're growing up, on TV, obviously, you see a lot of fights happening. Mm. And I think all my adult life, I've thought, I know that fights do happen, but why aren't they happening to me?
Well, see, when I was growing up, I had the opposite.
Right.
I was like, I know that there is a pastoral existence out there somewhere, but why is it avoiding me so hellishly?
Why is my life 100% fight?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's boring, but going back to Northern Ireland, of course, you know, there was fights.
Yeah.
I'm from working class town in Northern Ireland. It'd be ridiculous if you could get through that unpunched. So.
Yeah.
So I didn't. That'll teach me.
I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. Absolutely fine. I think I'm quite bad at bursting into tears. Oh, hang on. Let me take that back immediately. Unless I'm really bad at crying at movies. Like, good at it. I'm really good at crying movies. Yeah. Really good. You know the movie E.T.? I don't know why I said the movie E.T. as opposed to, like, the guy. E.T., I don't know how well you know that film. Can you guess when I start crying? If I was to watch that film now, at what point do you think I would start crying?
Start crying. Is it when Drew Barrymore has a connection with E.T.?
Oh, that would be sweet. I wish that was the answer. No, the answer is the font of the opening credits. The font of the opening credits immediately makes me cry. Because I can't bear what's going to happen to E.T. I cannot bear it.
Have you seen the film Coda?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have. Why did I have to think about that? Yeah.
Those films that I cried, me and Marcus cried from like halfway through and until an hour after it finished. And there's a bit in that where her non-speaking deaf father, mm-hmm. just like towards the end, do you remember this?
Yeah.
Says to her, go. It's the only word he says in the whole film. Yeah. And not only did that just like the tears just projectile crying, but also then me and Marcus, like for weeks afterwards, like if he would just remember it and start crying, and we'd say to each other, go, and we would just burst into tears. Like it was so much.
Yeah. I mean, I cried at that part too, because I was just thinking, fucking hell, so you could talk all this time, you just didn't fucking bother.
What an arsehole.
What a piece of shit he turned out to be right at the end. Anyway, big wuss. I'll put that down. Big wuss. Here's the next question. Here we go. It's the next question. Rachel Paris. Have you ever broken a law, even a little one like murder?
I haven't done murder.
That's a leg hole first.
Law, I never know how far down law goes, as in is like, so I've shoplifted.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, I've done things like, you know, watched films that were an 18 when I was a child and things like that. I've broken into parks that you're not meant to go in at night.
How do you break into a park?
Like climbing over railings.
They actually lock a park?
Yeah. Like in, so
I didn't know that.
London, and I used to live in Oxford, like the parks there. Yeah.
And also, why did you want to break into a park?
Because it's fun, isn't it? Parks at night, fun. I wasn't on my own.
I'm gonna be honest with you right now, Rachel. It's not fun. But I say parks at night are not fun. No.
They're fun. I've broken into quite a lot of parks at night in my younger
years. Really?
Yeah, I'm now thinking like it was a thing that I used to do.
Yeah, I mean, when I was about 15, I used to sort of like maybe 15, 16, used to drink in a park. But I don't remember. Well, I don't remember firstly ever having to break in. You just went there.
Well, I think I quite often had a few drinks before doing it. But yeah, it was just quite a fun thing. It was always parks that were like didn't need to be locked, or you know, in London, like those private garden things. It was all a bit nutty.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Things like that. So yeah, I've broken a few laws, but nothing big.
No. Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
I think I might keep this as a regular question because.
Is the answer often no?
Well, see, this, you're the first person I've ever asked that to, so I'm thinking of making it a regular question now for future guests. And I'd say it'll be three or four episodes before we catch someone, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It,
you know, can't be...
I murdered that guy. Oh, no!
Oh, balls! I thought this was a lighthearted chat, so I was just being open with you. Yeah. And that's what the police forget. That's what the police should do. They record the conversation anyway, don't they, the police? We could turn it into a podcast. All of a sudden, it's relaxed. Get them. I've never murdered anyone.
Oh,
I don't think
good.
I've definitely nicked things. In fact, I think it's about 8 years ago. I used to steal all the time from a news agent called Page One in my hometown.
Good and, name.
Yeah. And I used to steal stuff from there all the time as a little kid. I think I was about 6 or 7, and then I got caught by my dad, and he got very, 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 very angry, and there was a lot of God talk, as you can imagine, and I'm going to burn in hell. And then about 8 years ago, when I was at home, I decided that I wanted my parents to treat me like a child again. So things like I got my mom to cut my hair.
Yeah.
Just really, really stupid things. I forced my dad to take me to the cinema, like he had to pay and everything. I went, no, I am your little kid for the next few days. And then I went to page one and I stole a bottle of Diet Coke. That's the thing. It was really, I thought I was doing a fun, nostalgic thing. You ready for this? Page one, a year later, closed down. So, you know, I just chipped away at that poor news agent and now it's gone.
You broke them in the end.
I feel like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But I am going to put weird burglar into your...
Yeah.
I mean, breaking into a park is fucking stupid. Here's the next question. Here's the next question. And do you know what? I'm not kidding you. I giggled a bit when I thought of this question because okay. I'm so glad I'm asking you of all people.
Okay.
So, Rachel Paris, why did you vote Brexit?
Sovereignty?
I mean, what a fucking waste of time that was, eh?
So,
I mean, would we ever have even mentioned sovereignty if King Charles was King Charles? Wouldn't give a shit, would we?
Yeah.
Wouldn't have mentioned it once.
I still don't really know what it means, but happily, I don't think any of those people do either.
No. No. It means, I don't know, grovelling, really, basically, doesn't it?
Like being ruled by your sovereign freely.
Yeah.
Like you're free to be ruled by your sovereign and not another authority.
That absolutely sounds right to me.
That sounds like really shit right to want.
Are you okay?
Keep that in.
No. I'm taking everything else out. Okay, a bit poorly. I'll put that down your psychological profile. Bit poorly. There we go.
I didn't vote Brexit. I think that it's a terrible, terrible thing that's happened. And now
it's not great.
Doesn't need to be an opinion of mine anymore. Now it's a fact. It's
all
proven on every level that Brexit has been very, very bad.
Let's not become Debbie Downers. Though.
No.
I mean, what are the great things about Brexit? What are the great things?
I'm not going to say the blue passports because A, they're not blue. B, they make everything worse for us. And my favourite about the passports is that we could have had them at any time whilst remaining in the EU.
Yeah, of course. They're only fucking passports.
Yeah. I don't think... Oh, no. Okay, try to be positive, Rachel.
Okay, okay.
Farmers had it too easy before.
Oh, yeah.
So now, with sort of, you know... I think things are a little bit more difficult for them now, and they needed that.
Oh, I know what's good about Brexit.
Mm.
Northern Ireland is still technically in the EU, and that really fucks off unionists. So I'm delighted.
I knew there was something good about it.
Yeah, there you go. It pisses off the already pissed off. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to put unpatriotic down.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Fair enough.
Okay, here's another question. Rachel Paris, can you play the piano in real life?
Yes, I can. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Did you have proper piano lessons or how did you get into the piano?
Right. There was a old piano in my house when I was growing up. Which my granddad died when I was like two, I think. And he used to play it. He just by ear, you know, played all the old tunes. So he used to like playing that piano. And actually my older brother played the piano as well. So there was a bit of piano playing going on. So when I was really little, I used to like reach up and have a go on it.
Yeah.
And my mum just said, we weren't a family who would have like music lessons as a matter of course, you know, my other brother like didn't or anything. So my mum just said, do you want to have piano lessons? And I said, when I was six, and I said, yeah. And that was it, basically. I started having piano lessons with the local piano teacher, and eventually it went well. I always liked it, but I wasn't always good. I had a bit where I failed my grade 5, which was, I nearly gave up. But then I got very good. And then when I was a teenager, I was like a bit of a, I wasn't a prodigy, but I was very good at it. I was better at 16 than I am now in a lot of ways, certainly at classical piano. You know, I was doing all the sort of piano competitions and everything. And so I went to Oxford doing music, and that was, you know, because of the piano, classical piano, classical music. And I always wrote music and did like, I'm telling you, this is such a long story because I don't have something to say about
you,
it.
You have to understand, you're saying it to the right person. I don't care about the listeners. But oh, by the way, if you met the listeners, Neil, his name is. Hi, Neil. you're saying it to the right person because I'm deeply seething with jealousy that you can play a musical instrument. And because I can't, and I can never learn it.
Do you think you couldn't? Do you think
I've tried and I can't do it.
I do think it's easier when you're really little. I think you can pick up and absorb so much when you're really, like, for example, I'm learning to drive now and I'm finding it fucking awful. But yeah, and I think, so just to keep on my soapbox about my own piano playing and musicianship, I think I've become a much better musician actually from jobs. So I worked like in a church doing different little bits of piano for different things. I worked in a school doing like their choirs, in which I had to arrange music, transpose music, play by ear, work out everything by ear. So that experience, I think, made me a musician than I was when I was just doing classical piano.
I'm really genuinely very, very jealous, and I am genuinely impressed that you can do all that. But it does sound like you were an appalling child when you were younger, so I'm putting down appalling child. But I've got a sub question. How close have you got to a venue before realizing you haven't brought your keyboard?
Oh my god. I've done it. I have done it.
Oh, yeah.
I think I've done it. Yeah, like either five. It's happened more than once. I think it's happened maybe two, maybe three times. And now it would matter a lot less because I can just do stand up now. Unless
it's, or you could just fuck the gig off.
Or fuck the gig off. Or I've got like backing tracks, but. In the days of the first few years of me gigging, I really only had songs and a bit of talk in between. So if I didn't have the keyboard, I was really, really in the shit. So, I think it happened two or three times. And it's happened when I've arrived, like I've got in the door and gone to like, you know, the muscle memory of like, I've gone to like start setting up and I've gone, oh my God.
Right. It's not like you walked on stage and go, what's missing?
What's missing? Something's not right. I've got a stool here that I'm pulling up to something, but it's not here. Yeah. And I've left my keyboard behind many times. And I've had a piano keyboard stolen off a train, and I've had a clarinet stolen off a park bench.
So you had a clarinet as well? You can play the clarinet?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. You're very talented, but it's
a falling child, doesn't it?
It sounds like your attitude to your stand-up career seems really unprofessional. So I'm putting down unprofessional. Here is question number 9. Rachel Paris. Rachel, are you a dog person or a human person?
A dog person.
Way over the human people?
Oh, I see what you mean. No, I think I gave my answer too quickly.
Oh, okay.
No, I think, I think, so I really like dogs, but I don't think I want to have one.
Right.
So I think that makes me a human person, doesn't it?
I think so. Although I quite like the idea of, you know, there being dog people. They're actually half person, half dog or whatever. Quite like that idea. And I like, and some people are half human, half people. You know?
You're more of a dog person than a human person.
I definitely think I'm much more of a dog person.
Yeah.
I don't know. How many people do you really like? What, five? Five people?
Yeah.
By that. Whereas there's like, I doubt there's five dogs that I've met that I haven't sort of loved.
Yeah.
Probably deeply on a weird level.
See, you saying that makes me think, yeah, I do. I really like dogs, but I haven't. I've never had a dog, and I've never, I don't think I've met a dog that I've really loved. But, I mean, it hasn't been mine, so that's a bit of an ask.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah, I think there is a dog in my future. Do people say that? Like, I think...
I've felt that over the years.
Yeah, I think that there is, but not right now. But I think at the moment I'm a human person, because, you know, if you've never owned a dog, you can't really call yourself a dog person.
I'm sitting above two dogs right now.
Oh, what are they like?
They're asleep. That's what they're like. They got a beagle and a deerhound lurcher at my feet. There we go.
Nice.
Yeah, they're both really cute.
Yeah.
God bless them.
God bless them.
Okay, so animal hater, put that down. Animal hater. Okay. Final question, Rachel Paris. Rachel Paris, this is the final question. Okay. And then we will put together your psychological profile for the police. Question number 10, Rachel Paris. What is leg hole?
I don't know.
Yeah, what do you think has happened here over the last 40 minutes?
Because I don't feel like the title.
You don't like the title? Well, no, we'll change it.
No, I don't feel like the title. I don't understand how it relates to the police thing.
No, it doesn't.
To me, the name leg hole sounds like a sort of iconic prison, you know? Like,
that's very kind.
So I don't mean it to be, but before I heard that the rest of the premise and you said leg hole, I thought that sounds like it's going to be something to do with being in like a big prison, the slammer. You know.
Mm. Well, I mean, ultimately, this psychological profile could be used in the future to your arrest and incarceration. So, so who knows? But do you know what? I'm taking your first answer about it sounding like an iconic prison, and I'm putting very kind
on your
psychological profile. Thank you so much, Rachel Paris. What we have learned from the last 45 minutes and those 10 questions, Rachel Paris is an urchin, a psychopath, a pain in the arse, a diva. She's violent, a big wuss, a weird burglar. She's a bit poorly, unpatriotic, an appalling child, unprofessional, animal hater, and very kind. And you know what? You put all those things together and they make our very special guest, Rachel Paris. Thank you very much, Rachel Paris. Everyone applause. Thank you so much. It was great to talk to you. You're a very lovely person and one of my favourites. And you always make me laugh. You're great. Thank you so much, everyone. Thanks, Neil. Thanks, Neil, for listening. Bye, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.